KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Sophomore George Niang is not surprised the Iowa State Cyclones are headed to the Sweet 16. Niang suffered a broken foot in ISU's victory Friday night and was on the bench Sunday night as the Cyclones rallied from 8 points down in the final minutes to edge North Carolina 85-83 in San Antonio.
It means a lot to me because our team is still playing in March, and whenever you can compete in March and still play, that's an awesome feeling. And I'm so happy for these guys. They go out and they battle every day, and people still count us out, and we just come back in, put our hard hat on, and go to work, and look at what it's done for us.
Niang says much of the credit goes to Coach Fred Hoiberg, who only had one day to make adjustments with Niang out of the lineup.
He's just a whiz when it comes to that. He just finds ways to help guys out and exploit mismatches, and he did that. And you know what I mean? I felt like our guys really did a great job of answering the bell and scoring when we needed to and getting stops when we needed to. Coaches just puts the ultimate confidence in our guys, and when you play with confidence, I feel like great things can happen.
Well, the Cyclones traveled to New York City this week to take on Connecticut Friday night in the East Regional Semifinals in Madison Square Garden. Elsewhere in men's college basketball tournament play last night in the NIT, there were three second-round games. Florida State beating Georgetown 101-90. California knocked out Arkansas 75-64, and SMU defeated LSU 80-67. In the CIT tournament's second-round play, it was Murray State eliminating Nebraska-Omaha 86-62. Also, four games in the quarterfinals of the CBI last night, Fresno State beating Princeton 72-56, Old Dominion topping Radford 82-59, Illinois State advances with a 62-55 win over Texas A&M, and Siena defeats Penn State 54-52. CBS Sports and Turner Sports say viewership of the NCAA men's basketball tournament is the highest since 1993. The two networks, which share coverage of the tournament, released Nielsen numbers on Monday after the conclusion of the opening weekend of the tournament. The event averaged 9.227 million viewers, total viewers, which is up 4% from the same weekend last year. The 5.9 rating averaged in U.S. households through the first 6 days is the highest number in 17 years, dating to the 5.9 scored in 1998. The games have been broadcast across CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV, and viewership has climbed through every round. The coverage resumes with regional semifinals Thursday and Friday. Well, Greg Marshall, who led Wichita State to a 35-1 record and a number one seeding in the NCAA tournament, has been selected as the recipient of the Henry Iba Coach of the Year Award, presented by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. Marshall will be formally presented the award on April 14th in Oklahoma City. Marshall led the Shockers to the Missouri Valley Conference regular season and tournament titles. For the fifth straight season, the Shockers won at least 25 games, and Marshall's career record at Wichita State is 174-71. The Shockers, who were ranked number two in the final AP poll, were eliminated by eighth-seeded Kentucky on Sunday. Wichita State became the first team in NCAA men's history to win its first 35 games in a season. Elsewhere in college basketball news, Dayton basketball coach Archie Miller has received a contract extension through the 2018-19 season. The announcement came 3 days before the surprising Flyers take on Stanford in the NCAA regional semifinals. Negotiations began in December, and the extension was signed in February, but Miller asked that it not be announced to avoid distractions during the regular season. In his third season at Dayton, Miller has led the Flyers to their first trip to the regionals in 30 years. His 62 wins are the fifth best in school history. St. John's sophomore forward Jakar Sampson has decided to give up his final 2 years of eligibility to enter the upcoming NBA draft. Sampson was the 2013 Big East Rookie of the Year and was an All-Big East second-team selection this season. University of Houston men's basketball coach James Dickey says he's stepping down after 4 seasons with the Cougars because of a family matter that requires his time and energy. The Cougars went 17-16 this season with an 8-10 record in the American Athletic Conference. Bowling Green has hired Wichita State assistant Chris Jans as its new head basketball coach. He spent 7 years at Wichita State and reached the NCAA tournament the last 3 seasons. Indiana coach Tom Crean said in a news release that guard Austin Etherington and forward Jeremy Hollowell will transfer. Their departures come on the same day. Big Ten freshman of the year Noah Vonleh reportedly decided to leave school early for the NBA. A Morgan Bailey tied her career high with 18 points. Jennifer Hampson had 15 points and 14 rebounds. And BYU held on to beat Nebraska 80-76 last night, advancing to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament for the first time since 2002. The 8th seed, the 12th seeded Cougars became just the third number 12 seed to reach the final 16. They led by 17 points in the first half on the way to their second straight upset. The Cougars defeated number 5 seed North Carolina State in the first round at UCLA's Pauley Pavilion. Tara Loudermill scored 22 points, and Big Ten Player of the Year Jordan Hooper added 20 points for 4th seeded Nebraska, which will now host a regional that they won't be playing in. Elsewhere in women's second-round NCAA tournament play last night, DePaul beat Duke 74-65, Baylor over California 75-56, Stanford knocked off Florida State 63-44, Oklahoma State upends Purdue 73-66, Kentucky beat Syracuse 64-59. It was Notre Dame staying undefeated with an 84-67 win over Arizona State, and Tennessee knocked off St. John 67-51. The Iowa Hawkeye women advanced to the second round of the NCAA tournament with a convincing victory over Marist on Sunday night in Carver Hawkeye Arena, and now they hope to take advantage of their home court tonight when they play a third-seeded Louisville team that is 31-4 on the season.
Obviously, a tremendous team, a team that a lot of people around the country questioned why they were a three-seed. We know we've got a difficult challenge. We have a lot of respect for their program, what they did last year, being national runner-up, but at the same time, it's a new year. We have the opportunity to play at home, and we're going to give them our best effort.
That's Iowa coach Lisa Bluter, who had advanced to the Sweet 16 for the first time as a head coach with a victory.
It would mean a lot. It's something that has eluded me personally, and our program has certainly been there. I mean, obviously, we've been in the Final Four in 1993, but it's been a while, and it's something that our team would really, really like to have the opportunity to claim that they did. And they've talked about it, but we know it's a very difficult task. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to get to the final 16 teams in the country.
Senior Thierra Taylor is hoping to finally make it out of the second round.
I feel like this is a perfect team to do so. We've been so close and gotten to this mark so many times, and frankly, we're sick of doing it, so we're just going to go out and give it our best shot.
Louisville needs to beat the Hawkeyes to head back to their arena for the regional semifinals.
Iowa's a fantastic basketball club, very, very well coached, play extremely hard. Any time that you can put five players in double figures, you're doing something right. Just really, really impressed with watching them on film, and even more impressed when I've had the opportunity to watch them in person.
That's Louisville coach Jeff Walls, who says he's concerned about Iowa's balance. Louisville advanced after an 88-42 win over Idaho in the opening round. Louisville and Iowa facing off tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena in the second round of the NCAA Women's Tournament. We'll have the game for you here on KJAN. You can catch that one live tonight starting at 8:15 with the pregame. Around 8:30 is the scheduled start time for the ball game. Well, Coach Gary Anderson has a new deal with Wisconsin and about a 15% raise. The university's Board of Regents approved the 5-year package for Anderson on Monday, as he'll make $2.2 million with annual $100,000 raises. Wisconsin's football team went 9-4 in 2013, in Anderson's first year after arriving from Utah State. Athletic Director Barry Alvarez said in a statement that he began considering a raise toward the end of last season. Anderson was approached by the Cleveland Browns about their head coaching position in February. Alvarez says that Anderson did not act directly or even imply that his salary should be increased, but that only reaffirmed Alvarez's thoughts on a raise. Anderson's two coordinators did not get raises, but were approved for 2-year agreements. Their salaries were reported at $480,000 last year. In NFL news, Commissioner Roger Goodell says the NFL will meet on April 8th with the Players Union to discuss improving the workplace environment. Goodell says league representatives have met with some 40 players in the last 3 months, as well as with the Dolphins and outside organizations in the wake of Miami's bullying tactics. The Browns have agreed to a deal with offensive lineman Paul McQuiston. The free agent is returning to Cleveland after starting 14 games last season for the Super Bowl champion Seahawks. The Baltimore Ravens and New York Jets each will receive 4 compensatory picks in next month's draft for free agents they lost in 2013. The Ravens receive spots in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th rounds with 2 choices in round 4. The Jets will get a 4th rounder and 3 6th rounders. In baseball news, the Baltimore Orioles have acquired Steve Lombardozzi from the Detroit Tigers for fellow infielder Alex Gonzalez. The 25-year-old Lombardozzi hit .259 with a couple of homers and 22 RBIs for the Washington Nationals last season and was dealt to Detroit in December for pitcher Doug Fister. Gonzalez is a 37-year-old infielder who has a .246 average with 6 major league teams. Texas Rangers catcher Giovanni Soto has a tear in his left knee that will sideline him for 10 to 12 weeks. The Rangers say that Soto will have surgery on Wednesday to repair a torn cartilage. Atlanta's relief pitcher Freddie Garcia, who was contending for a spot in the Braves' battered rotation, the 37-year-old right-hander was let go despite a strong outing Sunday when he limited the New York Mets to an unearned run and two hits over five and a third innings. Cleveland Indians outfielder Michael Bourne will start the season on the disabled list, opening a spot for outfielder Niger Morgan on the opening day roster. Third baseman Lonnie Chisenhall will also head north with the team. Tampa Bay minor league pitcher Alex Colome has been suspended for the first 50 games of the season for a positive steroids test. Colome is the second player suspended this year under the Major League Drug Program. You may have heard of the other one, Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez. Pitcher Jose Quintana and the Chicago White Sox have agreed to a $21 million five-year contract that would increase to $26.5 million if he's eligible for salary arbitration after this season. That deal announced includes two team options that could add $22 million. In the NBA last night, Houston beat Charlotte 100-89, Phoenix over Atlanta 102-95, Miami topping Portland 93-91, New Orleans in overtime, a 109-104 winner over Brooklyn. Oklahoma City beat up on Denver 117-96, Chicago over Indiana 89-77. Memphis beat Minnesota 109-92, San Antonio topping Philadelphia 113-91, Detroit beat Utah 114-94, and the LA Clippers over Milwaukee 106-98. In the NHL last night, lots of extra hockey. The Rangers beat Phoenix in overtime 4-3. Montreal wins over Boston in a shootout 2-1. Ottawa wins in a shootout 4-3 over Tampa Bay. Calgary had to go to the shootout to beat San Jose 2-1. Also was Dallas over Winnipeg 2-1 and Los Angeles beating Philadelphia 3-2. And there are some changes in Atlantic's coaching lineup after action at last night's Atlantic School Board meeting. The board approved recommendations by Atlantic Activities Director Matt Alexander, which included naming Mike McDermott as the head girls and boys tennis coach. James Northwick was named as a volunteer assistant tennis coach. Also, Oren Perkins will be an assistant soccer coach and Sean Williams a volunteer assistant boys soccer coach. And also, Casey Pelzer has resigned as Atlantic head girls basketball coach. The girls posted a mark of 2-20 this past season. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.